I tell you, it is great to be with you all here this weekend again. My name's Todd. If I haven't had the privilege of meeting you yet, I'll be out in the lobby. I'd love to meet you after service if I haven't had that chance to do so. We have been in a conversation over the course of the summer that we've called 90 Days with Jesus. We're at this point in this series, in our conversations, we're halfway there. In fact, as we've been looking at the first four books of the New Testament, we call Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're referred to as the Gospels, we are two down, right? We have completed Matthew, we've completed Mark, and now we are on to Luke. And so that is where we are jumping in this week. If you have been tracking the daily reading process that we've been doing, you're going to start Luke this week. But if you haven't, or if you're just joining us here at Grace this week, this is a perfect week to jump in, all right? In fact, that QR code there in front of you will take you to the weekly. You will actually see the reading plan right there. You can check in on that every week as we go throughout this series, as we navigate this reading plan together. I spend most of my time over at our Montrose location just down the street, and I have been enjoying having conversations with people about this series. And I have just heard firsthand just the transformation that intentionality with Jesus can have in someone's life. I heard someone tell me that they have absolutely been blown away at how personal Jesus is with people and how what we read and understand in the Gospels, how it can be personal to us. Someone told me that it's been kind of the topic of conversation with their friends. And it's been amazing to like go through this reading plan together and to have like something to talk about with Jesus. Either way, this is showing up in big, big ways in people's lives, and I love it. And so keep going. If you've been in this 90-day journey, if you're just jumping in, invite you to do that this weekend. You won't regret it, I promise. All right? So I am pumped to be able to share with you my favorite encounter that Jesus has with someone in the book of Luke. All right. And so when we were laying out how we were going to walk through the different encounters that Jesus had, I saw my name and I'm like, yes, I am excited about this one. Okay. We're going to be in the book of Luke chapter 5. I invite you to go ahead and turn there. I'll have it up here on the screens as well. But I want to give you some direction for where we're going to go today. All right. I'm actually going to set out some goals for us to try to hit. The first is we're actually going to see firsthand a miracle that Jesus performs, all right? If you've been here for the past handful of weeks, nothing new. We've been like looking at all of the miraculous things that Jesus has been doing. We're gonna see another one here this week. But unique to this miracle that Jesus performs is I actually believe that this miracle is available to each one of us here today. So we're gonna see the miracle and then we're gonna see how it's personal to each one of us here. Then what I want us to do is look at an awesome example of faith that shows up with some of the characters here in this encounter that Jesus has. And then lastly, what we're going to do is I want to help us discover that same faith in our own journey that will ultimately help lead other people to experiencing the miracle that we're going to experience today. All right, so full circle, but we've got four goals that we're going to try to accomplish in our time here this weekend. You ready? Oh boy. All right, here we go. All right, Luke chapter 5, we're going to jump right in. All right, let's take a look, verse 17. It says, one day while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of the religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in all of Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem. The Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. Some men carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat, they tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof, took off some of the tiles. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, young man, your sins are forgiven. But the Pharisees and teachers of the religious law said to themselves, who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say that your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, go home. And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, we have seen amazing things today. It's a powerful interaction that takes place here, right? We have this man who has been paralyzed for decades, right? Being carried around on his mat, brought to Jesus. We're introduced to these men, these four friends, who go to great lengths to get their friend to Jesus. We see the crowds were intense, right? They were surrounding the location of where Jesus was at this moment. The early disciples, the first disciples that Jesus invited to follow him are with him, and there's a lot of people in this situation. But then we also have the Pharisees, these religious leaders who were like leaning in. And at this time of Jesus's ministry early on, it actually follows one of the miracles that took place just a couple weeks ago when Pastor Jeff walked us through when Jesus healed the man with leprosy. And after that interaction, great crowds started to follow Jesus where he went. And we find that that trickles into this interaction because those crowds actually became the very hurdle of what prevented this man getting to Jesus. And the religious leaders, these Pharisees, also are hearing rumblings about who this man by the name of Jesus is. And they're hearing about the miraculous things that he's doing, and their attention is now on, we need to figure out what's going on. We want to see for ourselves what he's doing. They're like alert, and they're skeptical, and they're trying to figure out who he is. And so they're also in attendance. And what's fascinating about Luke's writing of this compared to the one that you can see in the book of Mark is Luke gives that very specific detail about the religious leaders, saying that they've traveled from great distances to get to this moment. They've come from, you know, the villages of Galilee and Judea and even Jerusalem, meaning the word has spread far about what Jesus was doing, and they needed to see it for themselves. And so traveling a large distance, we see that they're very much a part of this story. Now, what I love is we see a man who was unable to walk, encountering the physical healing of Jesus in this very moment. It's powerful. And I don't know about you, but I think too often, and I'm guilty of this, I will interact with the Gospels, I'll interact with Jesus's time here on earth, and I will read an encounter much like this one. And I almost gloss over everything that Jesus is doing in this very moment, and I just land on the conclusion of he healed somebody. This man once wasn't able to walk, and because of Jesus, he now is. And I say, wow, that's miraculous, that's unbelievable. But I think what happens is too often we will lose maybe the greater meaning of what Jesus was actually doing in the midst of this interaction. And I actually want to show us that there is something greater going on here than just Jesus allowing the man to walk again. There is a greater miracle that is actually available not only for this man, but for you and I as well. Take a look here at Luke 5 again, starting in verse 9, right? They lowered the sick man on the mat down to the crowd, right? And then Jesus says, seeing their faith, he said to the man, young man, your sins are forgiven. And then you finish the rest of the story there. It ends then with him saying, Jesus turned to the paralyzed man, says, stand up, take up your mat and walk. See, this order is interesting. You know, and I sometimes wonder, why did Jesus not heal the man first? Why does it say that he forgave his sins? Why did he start there? You see, this order is fascinating. I think it's really important for us to get our minds and our hearts wrapped around why Jesus interacted with this man in this way. So the order is he starts by forgiving the man's sins. The religious leaders are like, hold up, wait a minute. Right? Never mind, I'm not going to finish that phrase. That's the rest of a song. All right, but what I'm saying, the religious leaders are like, no. That's blasphemous. Only God can forgive sins, excuse me. And so we have, he's forgiving sins. The religious leaders object. He then proves his authority. He's like, well, wait a minute. What's easier, for me to forgive his sins or tell him to pick up his mat and walk? He's like, as the Son of Man, I have the authority to forgive sins. So he proves his authority, then Jesus heals. The large crowd in attendance at this moment, the disciples, the religious leaders, the friends who brought their buddy to Jesus, and even the paralyzed man himself, are now all watching this unfold firsthand. And what it leads to is everybody asking the question, who's witnessing this very moment, can Jesus really forgive sins? Can he actually forgive sins? And Jesus knew that this question was stirring into the minds of those that were there in that moment, which is why he allowed the healing of the man's legs to become then evidence that he has the authority to forgive sins. And so take a look here in verse 24. He says, I prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. And then he turns to the man, tells him to stand up, to take his mat and go. Jesus's actions and the order at which he kind of unfolded this miracle is such an important detail to what happens here. Because by telling the man that his sins are forgiven first actually reveals Jesus' true divine character to everybody who was there watching. Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew that this was the moment that he was going to reveal the greater purpose to why he even came to this earth. He was beginning to reveal actually what this man needed the most. The way that this encounter unfolds and the order that it happened also reveals some important things to you and I. It reveals that this man in this story, his greatest problem wasn't that he was paralyzed. What we understand from this interaction is that it gives us the understanding that humanity as a whole, our deepest problem isn't the suffering that we experience here on earth. What Jesus is revealing through this encounter is that our greatest need, this man as well as us, is the reconciliation with God, to be made right. And Jesus was proving that he had the authority to do this. And if he had the authority to make dead legs live, which he demonstrated, he also knows that he has the authority to make dead souls live. I said it this way, healing wasn't the destination of this encounter. It wasn't the destination, it was the demonstration to something much greater. That's why I'm saying it this way. There was actually a miracle that took place behind the miracle that we see of him physically being healed. The physical miracle of his legs being healed only validated the spiritual miracle that took place of this man being reconciled before God, being forgiven, being made new. And what's fascinating is as Jesus goes about his time on earth, interacting with individuals, much like the man of our story here, there's this common theme, this common thread that takes place. And you're actually gonna see this show up if you're doing the weekly reading. You're gonna read the story again of how he healed the leper. You're gonna hear this story here in Luke 5. And you're also gonna see when he raises a dead man to life. And each one of these miracles within themselves are powerful. But in each example, what we find is Jesus is actually helping people see who he really was. It wasn't just that he could heal them physically. He's helping people understand his true divine character and ultimately the authority that he has. It wasn't just cleansing the leper or allowing the paralyzed man to walk or raising a man back to life. It was about them seeing that there is a new life available to them, that they are made new. And the greatest miracle that I find in and throughout the Gospels rests right here in what we're seeing this weekend. Because I think the greatest miracle that Jesus did is what we're experiencing right here and what this man experienced. The greatest miracle is the forgiveness of sins. With everything that Jesus did here on earth, and all of the wonder and awe that people were left watching what he was able to do, this miracle right here, knowing that he is capable, he has the authority to forgive sins, is the greatest miracle that he performed. It wasn't the miracle of the man being lowered through the roof, or the leper being cleansed, or the man being brought back to life. The greatest miracle was that Jesus took the weight and the burden of that man's sins, and he took it with him, took with him all the way to the cross, where he then died and rose again so that this man could experience the freedom and the forgiveness of sins. You see, Jesus came with a purpose. He came with a mission. He walked the earth proving his authority. You see, this is the miracle behind the miracle here in Luke 5. And then to put the cherry on top, then he heals him physically. But he looks at the man and says, your sins are forgiven. And I want us to know that that same miracle of the forgiveness of sins is available to every single one of us right here, right now. And so I shared that the miracle, what it is, how we can experience it for ourselves. I want to actually look at the example of faith that shows up in this story. And I'm sure you are understanding where this is coming from. It's coming from the four men, these friends, that went to great lengths to get their buddy to Jesus. Let's take a look at this example, and then I will swing back around to this, what we're talking about right now, this greatest miracle. Luke 5, 18. It says, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof, took off some tiles, then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd right in front of Jesus. These men actually play a pivotal role in this story. Right, much like everybody in attendance, these guys knew exactly what Jesus was capable of doing. And so they took action. And it makes all the sense in the world why these friends refused to let anything stand in the way of getting their friend to Jesus. They weren't there to see Jesus for themselves. They were all about their friend who was on the mat, of who they were carrying. They believed full-heartedly if we could just get him to Jesus, that Jesus would be able to and capable of doing anything and everything that we are unable to do. Nothing stood in the way. I could imagine them approaching the location of where Jesus was, this home, and the great crowds, and they're like, all right, well, we'll just go through the, well, we can't go through the front door. Too many people there. They're not moving. I don't know if these homes had windows at the time, but there's people there. They're not going through the window either. And so somebody, one of these four, said, I got an idea. We're going through the roof. Right? The light bulb goes off. Let's climb up on this roof, who we probably don't even know the owner. We don't own this home, but let's go up there and we're gonna dig a hole through the roof and we're gonna lower our friend to Jesus. I would have loved to have seen this firsthand, right? I feel like this is one of those moments that, man, let's just grab the popcorn and let's just start watching this thing unfold, right? Just to be able to see the reaction of people in this moment when the tiles get moved and a man gets lowered right in front of Jesus in that very moment. You know, it makes me think, have you ever experienced a moment in your life where you had the mindset of, of any means necessary to accomplish something. Have you ever had one of those moments in your life where you had that mindset that I'm gonna do and complete any means necessary in order to complete that task or that role? Maybe it's a job, right? Maybe you were applying for a job that you're like, this is my dream job. And so any means necessary, I'm gonna make sure I get this job. Maybe you've met that perfect lady or gentleman, right? And you're like, I'm gonna marry that person, right? And you have that mindset, any means necessary to get them to say yes, right? We're gonna spend the rest of our lives together. Maybe you tried out for the sports team or the club or whatever that is, but you have that mindset. Here's an example I thought of. I was thinking of my own life and I couldn't come up with anything, but I do remember about two and a half years ago, this mindset actually consumed the majority of our country and the majority of our world. All right, here, bear with me. 2.5 years ago, I remember that there was a particular musical artist who was going on tour. She may or may not have just recently married a Kansas City Chiefs football player, but this individual was going on tour and the date was revealed for when her tickets were going on sale. And I remember firsthand in the office that I work in my home, everybody in the circles of my life were just going absolute berserk on trying to get a ticket to be able to see Taylor Swift in concert, right? It was in any means necessary to just get the ticket to be able to go to one of those locations to see her live show. I had another example, but it's irrelevant now. I was thinking, you know what? I bet that the Cleveland Cavaliers have this any means necessary mindset to bring LeBron home to finish out his career. Well, that's down the drain, right? We know that that's not true anymore. So I'm like, thanks a lot, LeBron. I can't even use that as an example anymore, all right? But any means necessary, all joking aside, this is exactly what was going through the minds of these friends. We must get our buddy to the feet of Jesus. Nothing is gonna stop us. There is no number of people that we won't be willing to fight through. We are getting him to Jesus, and so we will go through the roof if we have to. I love this. I love this example because I can imagine Jesus sitting there and he's got all these people around him wanting to hear his teachings, and then all of a sudden he looks up and he starts to see the tiles moving. And I can guarantee it, Jesus was like, let's go. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I wanna see. They know and understand what is possible in this very moment. I love it, and I promise you, Jesus loved it even more. Look at his response. It is so simple. It is such a simple response that he gave to these friends, but it's powerful, and it serves as a catalyst because of these friends' faith. He says, seeing their faith led this man to being forgiven for his sins. Seeing their faith. Notice what this doesn't say. He's not saying that their faith healed the man. That's not true. He also isn't saying, hey, because of your persistence and literally trying everything you possibly can to do it, that it earned the miracle. It didn't. He says when he saw their faith, the faith that simply brought their friend to the feet of Jesus, allowed this man to experience the forgiveness of his sins. It's powerful. That is an example of faith that I want us to wrap our hearts and minds around here this weekend. Because that man in that very moment got to experience the fullness of God. And then we know that his legs were then healed as well. These buddies took extreme action. And it's because when you believe Jesus is the only one who can restore us to God, we'll do whatever it takes to bring people to him. Their faith led their friend to Jesus. It wasn't rooted in what they accomplished. It was rooted in whom they trusted, who they believed full-heartedly. could heal their friend. I hope you're getting a glimpse of why this interaction Jesus had is one of my favorites. It's loaded. There is so much going on behind this story. And there's so much that you and I can also begin wrapping our minds around for ourselves personally. And so what I want to do is I actually just want to like take the rest of our time to help us see, what does it mean for us? What is this interaction that Jesus has with this paralyzed man? What can we walk away with as we interact with it ourselves? There are three things that I would love for every single one of us to understand here this weekend. I invite you to write these down. The first one is this, all right? It's that the forgiveness of sins is available to you. That's the miracle we're talking about. The miracle that this man experienced is the very miracle that is available for you and I right here in this very moment. I don't know your story. I don't know what you walked into this room with this weekend. And I can only imagine that within our story, that there might be pain, that there might be moments and levels of suffering, that there might be shame or guilt that you are carrying with you. The stress and the weight and the anxiety that life brings upon us. I want you to know that Jesus wants to take that. Jesus doesn't want you to have to carry the weight of those areas of your life any longer. Jesus looked at this man and he saw that his greatest need was the forgiveness of sins, to be reconciled and made right with God. He's like, let me take that for you. I know you've carried a lot of weight, unable to walk. And do you understand that this miracle, God knew that we as imperfect beings, right? We all have the commonality of sin in our lives. We are imperfect, and we have a perfect God. And we can't come, you can't mix imperfection and perfection, and God knew that, so he sent his son Jesus to this earth to interact with people much like this, to help them see that you can experience this forgiveness of your sin. Experience firsthand the miracle that is available to you. And then he takes it. And he placed that weight and the burden of our wrongdoings, where we have fallen short of the standard that God has set. He says, I've got it. And the miracle led him to the cross, where he paid the ransomed price for our sin. He died. And then he rose again, conquering the grave. He did all of it so that you and I can experience the freedom of our sin. Listen, I want you to know that you are forgiven. When we take the burden that we're carrying and say, Jesus, it's yours. And I want you to know that this miracle is available. We just have to simply ask God to forgive us. To simply just say, I'm sorry. I've messed up. Take the guilt. Take the shame. Take my anxiety, Lord. I want to focus my heart and mind on you. Make me new. Hearing the stories that we're hearing through baptisms this weekend. Watching people share their story of this is who I was, and because of Jesus, this is who I am now. And experiencing the unbelievable power that Jesus offers us through the forgiveness of our sins. And so I want to invite you to take that step here today, to simply just ask Jesus to forgive you and to give those areas of our life to him. And the outcome is that we get to experience forgiveness and freedom. We take that forgiveness and freedom, and it leads me into the second thing that I want us to walk away with. I want us to understand in Luke 24 here, it's something we actually haven't talked about yet, but it's powerful when we experience the freedom and forgiveness of sins. Jesus proves that he has the authority, and then he looks to the man and says, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the second takeaway that I want us to really wrap our minds around is that for each of us, we are to take our mat with us, and we need to go. This was an instruction that Jesus gave this man after he was forgiven and healed. This man's entire life was spent on that mat. Decades of unable to walk, the only way that he could be moved around was through this mat. It was everything he knew. It was his comfort. It was his constant in his life. And in that moment, Jesus looks at him and says, "Pick up your mat. Go." See, he was healed. And in that very moment, I could imagine this man wrestling with, wait a minute, why should I take it with me? I've spent my entire life on that mat. I don't need it anymore. Let's get rid of it. Throw it away. I'm made new. Let's go. And Jesus is like, don't miss out on the opportunity that you have to take that mat with you and use it to impact the lives of other people. Here's what I mean. His mat was his story. And Jesus did not want him to miss out on the opportunity to share what happened that day. That crowd knew that man. That crowd knew that mat that the man laid on for years. That mat that Jesus is instructing him to take with him represents the unbelievable transformation, the miracle that he experienced that day. It's his story. And his story involves God's redemptive power. His story involves God's healing hand. It's a story of someone who once was lost and broken and is now whole and found. And this man gets to say, my healing goes with my mat. My healing is a part of my story that gets to be used to share with other people. Let me speak for myself here for a second. It's amazing how often I want to push aside my past, push aside the pain that I've experienced, the struggles that I've experienced, even the sin that I've wrestled with. I just want to leave it in the past because it hurts. I understand, and I'm sure you can relate. But what if we approached our past with a different mindset? What if the same instruction that Jesus gave this man to take his mat, what if it's the same instruction that he's asking us to do? Take your past. Take your pain. Take the struggles that you faced in your life and use it as a part of your story and a part of the work that I am going to do and continue to do in your life. You see, the man's mat became a gift to him. His story is a gift and a tool that he gets to use. Our stories are also gifts to us. Jesus reminds us often that we're forgiven. He reminds us often that he'll heal us. He often reminds us that, listen, I've got you, and I will carry the weight and the burden that you've been carrying for so long. But don't forget about the miracle that he's done. Don't lose sight of the transformation that Jesus offers to each one of us. And then to allow it to be the pivotal part of our story that we can use to start to transform other people's lives. I said it's a full circle process because now, because of our story and sharing what Jesus has done in our lives, we get to bring other people into that journey. That is what we do here with baptisms. You heard the life change. You heard how Jesus showed up in some of the darkest moments, but he transformed. He displayed miracles in people's lives. And he wants to do the miracle in yours as well. We can take our story, and I know it includes pain, and I know it includes suffering for many of us. But what if that story can begin to shine a little bit of light in the darkest days of our lives? And then that light now becomes an example for other people to see when they're in the midst of the same experiences you have, where they feel like there's no hope, where they feel like there's no light, but yet they get to experience it for themselves through you. I also just want to acknowledge for some of us, we might not even realize that our story has begun. We might not realize that there is the ability to have our sins forgiven. For some of us, we might not realize that there is a relationship that is offered to you with Jesus. He longs to be in relationship with you. But maybe you haven't experienced it yet. I actually pray that here today that you would have the boldness to talk to somebody about what it would look like to A, start that relationship, and then to experience the forgiveness of your sins. Your story can start here today. And so I pray that you would have the boldness if that is where you are. The last thing that I want to share with us is the example the friends set, the faith that they had. The third thing that I want us to understand is that we're to bring others to Jesus. We're to bring others to him, which is why I guarantee it, Jesus loved the moment when the friends lowered their buddy to him. When you believe Jesus is the only one who can restore us to God, we'll do whatever it takes to bring people to him. And so I want to invite you to begin thinking about who's the one person that you live life with who does not know Jesus. Get that person in your mind right now. Maybe it's a coworker, a friend, a neighbor, a family member. I invite you to get that one person in your mind because I'm certain, just like the friends with the paralyzed man, we can have an opportunity to do the same thing so that they can experience a miracle. So let me ask you this, what's it gonna take to get that person in your mind to Jesus? What's it going to take to get them to him? The second question is, are you willing to have that mindset of any means necessary to get that friend to Jesus? Jesus did a miracle in this man's life. Jesus is doing miracles in our lives. I am confident that he can do a miracle in the person in your mind's life as well. But he wants us to bring those people to him. So how do we do it? First is we need to pray. Prayer is not just that like churchy answer, oh, pray for them. No. It is a powerful tool that God has gifted us with to be able to connect our hearts to his heart. And when we pray, we are going on behalf of the people that we have in our minds, that God would start working in their hearts and minds, that their eyes would be open to who he is. Prayer is a powerful tool. Here at Grace, we'll use a phrase that we pray for our three. That's what this concept is, that we're praying for people who do not know Jesus. And then I actually encourage you to take that prayer step further. Begin praying that God would give you that very moment to share the story that he's gifted you with. That you would have the boldness to share all that that Jesus has done in and throughout your life. You have a story, and it's a gift that needs to be used. So we're praying for them by name. We are praying for the boldness to be able to share our story with them. And the third thing is we need to invite. And I understand that this can be a scary step, but it's a powerful step. When we invite these people into the community spaces that we live life in, where we know that Jesus is present. Maybe it's a Bible study. Maybe it's a group of friends that you gather with every week where you know it's a safe place and Jesus has talked about. I encourage you to have the boldness to invite those people that you have in your mind into those community spaces so that they can experience Jesus for themselves. Listen, as the band comes out and gets settled in, I'm confident that Jesus desires to meet us right where we're at in these very moments. And I believe for some of us, he's knocking on the door of our hearts. And for some of us, today needs to be the day that we experience the miracle of the forgiveness of our sins. Where we can experience the freedom. Not having to carry that burden any longer. And as the band plays and as we pray here, I just encourage you to take these moments, if that's you, to spend time with him and say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. Scripture says he washes us white as snow. He purifies us when he forgives us. We don't have to carry the burden any longer. For some of us, we need to inherit the boldness of sharing our story. To take the circumstances that we've had in our lives, and for some of us, it's painful, I get it. I promise you, God has gifted you something incredibly powerful. And that very story could be the thing that changes the life of the person that you're thinking about. And I want you to pray about who you're going to bring to Jesus. Let's rip the roof off of places. Let's get people to understand the transforming power of our God. Because he's in the business of changing lives. And I want you to experience it. And I want the people that you're thinking about to experience it as well. God, we love you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your unbelievable transforming power in our lives. Thank you for taking a story of a man being lowered through a roof to be able to experience the power of your forgiveness. And Lord, you made him walk. Thank you, Jesus. God, would you allow us to experience that same transforming power in our lives as well? We need you, Father. We can't do this on our own. And so we come to you asking that you would continue to transform our lives as we run after you. And Lord, if there is somebody in this room who doesn't know you, I pray that you would tug on the heart right now. I pray that they would see that there is something available for them that they can experience your love and your forgiveness right here, right now. Lord, use this space and time as we sing and as we worship and praise you, Lord. Help our hearts connect to yours. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name.